God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Oh, welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Again, my guest, Katie Erickson's in the house with me. How you doing, Katie?
Doing all right. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good. 1 Corinthians is what we're going to take a look at. Chapter 6?
Yes.
Chapter
starting at verse 1.
That's where we'll be, friends, tonight. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Yep, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Need to get some of my stuff ready here. Oh, bingo. There it is. All righty. So 1 Corinthians 6 is where we're going to be at tonight. We'll also maybe share with you a little bit about what's already happened with the ministry of some fun stuff that's been released. Just excited for that. And for those of you who don't know, Katie's an author, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have 6 books out there. So, yeah, I'd say so.
That's pretty awesome. Again, you can find those at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie's also a blogger, speaker, and does pulpit supply in the local area here.
Yep, just preached
quite a bit.
This morning.
You did today, right?
I did.
Faith Presbyterian Church in Findlay, Ohio.
Okay. Yep.
With Bill Sang.
Well, he wasn't there. That's why I was there. But
right.
Yes.
But he's the
he's the pastor there. So. Yes, exactly.
And by the way, if you don't know Bill Sang, he used to write for us, and he's a really great guy.
He is.
Mm-hmm. So, friends, let's dig right into this. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. And as usual, I'm assuming Katie is going to start with Scripture itself, so we know what our foundation is. It's kind of important.
I feel like that's a good place to start, because it would be silly for me to talk about the passage, and, you know, nobody, like, knows what the passage is.
So I'm going to be real goofy here.
Oh, boy.
Imagine that. So Katie said, I feel like, yep, she's a woman. I'm a man. So I,
now.
Think, I think we should start.
I think we should,
isn't
too. I think that's a great idea, Jason.
Hey, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. And just wanted to let you know, thanks for tuning in. We're here. I'm here at least every Sunday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Ah, it's a good time.
I'm here on occasion.
Yes. But that's all good. So, Katie, take it away.
All right. We are going to read from 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 1. So if you have a Bible handy or a Bible app, I encourage you to pull that out, follow along. I am going to be reading from the NIV, just because. So, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. Well, I mean, I could read from the Greek, but I figured I'd lose a lot of people. So
yeah, you'd lose
we're going to stick with NIV.
So. All right.
All right. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers.
All right, before we move on, you all don't know. So in the studio, we'll talk and things, and it's just funny when Scripture speaks to us just as much as hopefully it does you.
Well, and that's the funny thing is when I wrote this blog post, which was a few weeks ago, I was actually in communication with a local lawyer to get going on an eviction at one of my rental properties. And I'm sitting there going, oh boy, should I actually do this? Should I not? And I had this little like moral crisis going on here of like, ugh. But that's the thing where context is super important.
Yes.
Because this passage is, for one thing, talking about a dispute with another believer.
And you have to understand that, friends. Paul is not saying, don't ever take someone to court.
Exactly.
Now, I'm assuming you're going to dig into that. But
yes.
This is, again, context is king.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, you're a Christian, they're a Christian.
Work it out.
Figure it out.
Yes.
Don't take another believer to court.
Yeah, like go to people in the church. You know, yes. They should help you, all of this. But
and we're
yeah.
not saying either one is easy, okay? That's not what we're saying. But this is what Scripture's telling us. This is what Scripture's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had this like this little internal crisis of like, yeah, so I'm trying to take a tenant to court because they haven't paid their rent for 3 months. Is this okay? Am I doing this? Like, should mm-hmm. I be doing this? And yeah, so... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so anyway, let's continue on. This is great.
So, yes. And here, again, context is very important because in the previous section of this letter, because remember, when this was written, it wasn't written with like chapters and verse markers and all of that. So like it would just kind of keep going. So here we have this nice, we're just jumping in at chapter 6, right? But Paul was probably in the middle of his thought, really.
Right.
So in the previous section, though, Paul had just laid down some pretty serious rebuke for the believers in the Corinthian church because they were letting the sexual sin of incest not only exist in their church, but they were being boastful about it. So he rebuked them in the last section, and now he continues his lecture, but on a slightly different topic, by getting into how to handle legal disputes among them. So again, there's a few important things that we need to note before we dig into the details of this passage. So Paul makes it clear up front, verse 1, that what he's saying only applies to disputes among believers. This does not apply when an unbeliever is involved in the dispute. And it's important to remember also back then, in their day, it was pretty clear of you were either a part of the church or you were not. You know, in our day, it's a little bit harder to tell sometimes whether someone is a true believer or not. But back then, it was a much clearer divide. So he's making sure they realize this only applies to disputes among believers, all right? So also, this section only refers to non-criminal disputes because Paul implies elsewhere in Romans 13, actually, that criminal cases should be handled by the government. So the legal matters referred to in this section of 1 Corinthians are more like property and civil disputes among people, not like, you know, you murdered that person, we have a criminal trial going on. Like, that's a whole different matter, all right? So, by using the phrase, how dare you, in this, Paul is strongly urging believers to take their legal matters before Christians who can help them, rather than commanding them. So he's strongly urging, he's not commanding, right? So there is still a door left open for Christians to take cases to the secular courts in some situations. This is not a command from Paul. This is not like a mandate from God. This is just a strongly urging to not take other believers to court. So the Roman law of Paul's day allowed Jews to use their own authorities to settle property disputes. And it's likely that the same line of thought would apply to Christians. Because remember, the Jews had all of these, you know, levels of leadership and all that set up to handle these things. They didn't have to take it to the Romans. And we're early on in the life of the church here. So they're probably still thinking along those same lines. They weren't yet that far removed from the Jewish traditions at this point. And Paul was also a Roman citizen, so he would have been able to use the Roman courts as well for any legal matters. Well, today, we have a very different system than the Jews and the early Christians of the first century. We don't have specific religious courts in our society that Christians can use to handle our legal matters, to keep it among believers. So Paul's concern for the early believers at Corinth was how this would affect things at the second coming of Christ, which he thought was imminent back then, yeah, that it was happening soon.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly, which he's off by at least a few thousand years, but that's okay. So if believers can't even handle these small civil matters among themselves, how will we, with Christ, judge the world one day? And you may be thinking, what? We're judging the world with Christ? Yes, we have become co-heirs with Christ. We read that in Romans 8:17. So we will reign and judge the world with him when the end of times comes. So Paul's thinking, all right, that's probably right around the corner, right? So if these people can't even handle these petty little earthly matters, how on earth are we going to judge on that day with Christ? So Paul emphasizes his case even more in verse 3, where he points out that Christians will judge angels. Now, unfortunately, Paul does not give us any details of what exactly that means, and scholars are pretty well divided on that. perhaps.
Imagine that.
I know, right? Well, because it's such a vague statement, and it's so weird in there. Everybody's like, wait, what? We're judging angels? What? It's just not, you know, what you expect to see there. So perhaps it means that Christians will have a part in judging the devil and his fellow fallen angels, or this may mean that Christians will rule over the heavenly angels with Christ someday, as, again, we are co-heirs with Christ. So unfortunately, we really don't know what that means, but it's in there. So, you know, it's in Scripture. We read it. We talk about it. We have to remain mysterious on this sometimes.
Well, we don't know at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not yet, anyway. Someday in eternity, we will. Today is not that day. So scholars disagree on the tone of what Paul says in verse 4, where he says, therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? You know, the tone is questionable there. Is he sarcastic? Is this a rhetorical question? But either way, an outside judge, meaning an unbeliever, would have a very different worldview than those who have faith in Jesus Christ. They will likely see matters in a different light. They would not necessarily be looking at matters through a perspective of God's love and God's justice as a believer would. And that's part of what Paul is getting at here of, you know, let's keep everything, you know, among believers as much as you can, because then we at least share that foundational worldview with each other. So then in verses 5 and 6, Paul goes on, it lets them know that they should be ashamed of themselves for not being able to handle these matters within the church. There should be some believer among them who is wise enough to handle this. That would be much better than having Christian brothers fighting with each other in front of the secular courts over a small matter that probably isn't important in the grand scheme of things.
You know, and with that, I just want to, you know, shift gears a little bit, nothing major. But Matthew 18 is totally coming to mind throughout this whole thing. So I'd like to share with you Matthew 18, 15 through 19, simply because, well, it sounds pretty darn familiar. So if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So I share this because, again, this sure seems familiar with what Paul is writing of. We need to be working this out in the church and find wise people within the church. Don't just go, oh, got to take you to court. Let's get this done. And again, friends, in here, Jesus even calls it sin. If someone is sinning against you, if someone's done, you need to find wise counsel within the church. Need to make sure I preface it with that. It's totally important to say it's in the church. Not go, okay, I got to find this guy I'm going to pay $300 an hour to or whatever, that's maybe not a Christian. I like how you pointed out that the world has a different worldview than we do.
Yeah, and they would have a very different opinion on, you know, judgments of things, what is justice, loving one another, you know, grace, all of that. The unbelievers would have a completely different mindset on a lot of those things.
Right.
Which is why Paul is saying, you know, this is all prefaced with that whole, this is for believers. This is for those who are in the church, and let's, you know, try and work this out among ourselves kind of thing.
And very, then, very important.
Yes. Yeah. And then the next point he gets to here is because, you know, then if we have all these believers who can't figure things out among ourselves, and then we're taking that to secular courts, all the unbelievers are going to see that, and that's not really going to give Christians a good name. Because, you know, we're like, you can't even figure this stuff out for yourself. Why do I want to be a part of that faith?
Well, and I think we see that in today's society pretty Big time. I don't know how to put that. We see it a lot where some people are just turned off. I mean, I forget who said it. Might be Gandhi who said, you know, I don't like the church, but I like your Christ.
Yeah, I've heard that
something
from a lot
like
of
that.
I've heard that
it's
from a lot of
like
different
that.
People.
I don't like how you Christians act, but I like the Christ.
Right.
And I get all that. And the thing is, though, look, we're humans. We're messy. It's kind of just how it is. That doesn't. I'm not trying to make an excuse here. I'm just saying, hey, we're people. People are people. Again, if your brother sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. So important to take time and share with them, hey, this is a big deal. If they choose not to be a part of it and go, nah, I don't think it is, but it's still for you a big deal, now you've got to kind of, it's called accountability. I don't know how to put it. Accountability, a word we hate to hear today. Accountability is huge. And it's a very difficult word for a lot of us to live through. Again, we're going to keep going through this, but before we do, I wanted to share with you a couple fast cats here. We've got to find things, friends, that we agree on. We need to be united in Christ in all that we do. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
We all need to ask ourselves this question: who do we trust? We need to seek and search, asking questions and genuinely looking for the truth. Absolute truth will set you free. Real truth, not your truth or my truth, but Almighty God truth. You know, do you really want to be free, though? I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 13, where it tells us that love is patient, love is kind, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Ah, there is that word again, friends. Truth. To dig more into this, go find our blog post titled, United We Stand, Divided We Fall.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to do a self-examination of your old life and answer some of these questions that I ask you today. Friends, if your child gets pregnant out of wedlock, who or what do you put your hope in? Could it be that you are putting your hope in something other than God Almighty? And if a family member ends up getting cancer or COVID, who or what do you ultimately put your hope in? And if someone you love loses their job, who or what do you put your faith, hope, and trust in? Dig more in this idea at our blog post titled, What Is Your Hope In?
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Appreciate you being with us here. Again, we're going through 1 Corinthians 6. I almost said 13 simply because I've been preaching on that for almost 2 months now. And I say that too because, well, 1 Corinthians 13 is well known.
It is.
1 Corinthians 6, not so much.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll be talking about 1 Corinthians 13 probably about November, I think, as I continue blogging through the book of 1 Corinthians.
There we go. Well,
so, and there we go.
So perfect timing for Thanksgiving, Reformation Day, all that good stuff.
Yep, we'll see if the schedule changes, but where it's planned out now, middle of November, I'll be on.
Oh, so November. So
yep,
it's
middle
going
of November,
to be 1
Corinthians 13. So, yep, that we'll see.
So let's not talk about loving food, though, or something.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go there.
Okay. Friends, again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Also wanted to remind you before we jump back into 1 Corinthians 6, brand new resources come out, The Doctrines of Genesis, with Worldview Warrior Publishing, the Genesis, How Genesis Establishes the Basis for Christianity, friends. Again, published by Worldview Warriors Publishing, written by C.A. Wolcott. That's Charlie Wolcott, for those of you who are going, C.A. Wolcott, who in the world is that? Well, He's our blogger every Friday, releases a post, and I'm just so ecstatic that he has written this, and you got to edit it all. And
I did, and format it,
yeah,
make a cool-looking cover, you know.
So
I like the cover. It's pretty spiffy.
Again, so you got anything more you want to say?
Nope.
Okay. So it's in paperback and Kindle. Again, Genesis is much more than a book that describes the beginning and origin of life and the universe. Friends, it also lays down the foundation and gives us the first pictures, first snapshots, and the first examples of every teaching of the book of Genesis. Friends, it's time to realize how attacked the first 12 chapters of Genesis has gotten over the last few years. Actually, probably since the last 100 years. We just didn't know it. We didn't see it. Friends, also, someone just recently got this book, read it, and they stated this. Took almost 6 hours to read it. Enjoyed every page of it. And hope my pastor does after I give it to him tomorrow. He's an evangelical pastor. Well, I'm glad he's an evangelical pastor. That's great.
That's good.
So with that, friends, again, the doctrines of Genesis, how Genesis establishes the basis for Christianity. Just appreciate Charlie putting this together, it being available. And again, you can find this at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And get as we're wrapping up this little section. And 1 Corinthians 6. And I don't want to say this has been a difficult passage, but it hasn't been the easiest passage, has it?
Well, and there's more difficult passages coming. But that's
great.
The thing of, you know what? They are all part of Scripture.
Yeah.
And as I've been writing through this, you know, there's times I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to write on this. I don't know what to say about this. This is very convicting. But you know what? It's part of Scripture.
Yeah.
So we go there. We don't just avoid the parts that are hard. That
right.
is not what we are called to do as believers. God gave us the whole thing, like it or not.
Right. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, too. You have a choice to make. You can either change and follow God's way or stay the way you are, not grow, not become mature, not become complete. But God's word calls us to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. God has called us to this. Yes. Make Jesus your Savior, but it's time for us as believers to make him the Lord of our lives and allow the world to see it. Katie, let's wrap up this time.
All right. So we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. We talked about the first six verses, so then the last couple of them here. So in verse 7, Paul does recognize that legal matters may need to be handled at times. But the fact that they are having these disputes among fellow believers shows their spiritual immaturity. They are not living out the love that God has shown them when they cause injustices to happen among their fellow believers. He points out in verse 8 that some of those believers are the ones who are causing these injustices and the need for some kind of legal authority to step in. Their love for their fellow believers should be strong enough that they would be willing to suffer some wrongs against them for the sake of unity in the church. So how do we apply this passage to our modern world today? Does this mean that believers should never take another believer to court for any reason? Well, depending on the situation, yeah, that answer could be yes, that we're not supposed to take other believers to court. Jesus gave us a process for handling disputes among believers in Matthew 18 that Jason read for you a few minutes ago. And if all of us truly followed that, and we did our best to love one another with the love of Christ, there would be little need for believers to take one another to court. However, the problem is that we don't follow that procedure from Jesus, and we don't always love one another as we should. We are spiritually immature, and we are weak when tempted by the ways of this world. But as believers in Christ, we should be different than the non-believers in our society. We should hold ourselves and each other to a higher standard, the standard of being obedient to God in all things out of love and honor for him. We do have a court process that we can use when dealing with unbelievers, and I believe that also applies to those who may be Christians in name only, those who are not truly striving to live out their faith. But we should be careful to practice spiritual maturity and to follow the instructions of Jesus before immediately turning to the secular ways of this world to handle matters among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, just as Paul encourages the Corinthians to do.
Absolutely. And friends, I just encourage you, if this little bit really touched you, or you're like, you know what Katie's saying there, I'm getting it. I just want you to know that if you want to dig more into not just what Katie's talking about here, but she's also released a book called God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges. You can join her on her journey through the ups and downs of life and what the people of Israel learned, too, through the period of the Judges. What I love about this resource is she takes the entire book of Judges and goes through it.
The whole thing.
Yeah, the entire thing. It's really, and it, I don't want to call it a devotional per se, but what's nice is each chapter is like 2 to 3 pages long. I think maybe they're all 2. I don't even remember.
They're pretty short, like 3 pages or less.
But
yeah.
It's great because you can apply these life lessons to your own life today as a follower of Jesus Christ. Again, you can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. And you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You go out, make today great. Don't be a pushover. And we'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.